Welcome to the Avengers Podcast, where we assemble weekly to binge the MCU and all things nerd, old and new. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, X, Threads, and TikTok at Avengers Podcast. That is one word, ladies and gentlemen, A-V-I-N-G-E-R-S Podcast. Give us a like, a comment, and let us know what you think of the show. You want to check out the video version of this podcast? YouTube.com/TheAvengers. Hope to see you there, and you get to see our smiling faces at YouTube.com/TheAvengers. I'm just one of your hosts. I can't do it alone. Emmy, how you doing?
I'm fantastic. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Keith, how you doing, sir?
I'm not spaghetti yet, so it's a good day.
You looked a little Prego to me.
That's rude.
How dare you?
I'm sorry. It was okay.
I'll have you know that I am hitting the gym next week.
I thought you are absolutely stunning, is what I thought, Keith. Really, just you were glowing.
Glowing.
Guys, we are here reviewing Loki Episode 5, Science Fiction. But if you have not watched Loki Season 2, Episode 5, I think I fucked that up again. I'm not sure. Anyway, Season 2.
You got it.
Oh, I got it. Okay, Season 2, Episode 5.
Season professionals.
We are. But if you have not watched the newest episode of Loki Science Fiction, please don't listen any further. We are going to spoil it. So we don't want to spoil it for you. Go away. Go somewhere else.
Get out of here.
This is a spoiler-filled video cast podcast.
Go and get. Scram.
God, you guys are... Please stay if you want to listen. If you've... Like, the way they said it was like, get the fuck out now.
I don't love you anymore.
Wow.
If they haven't seen the episode, I'm going to throw salt at them. Yeah.
Guys.
Salt. Okay. Yeah. Get rid of the slugs.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think they're still here. I think the people that have seen Science Fiction are here, and they're here to listen, so happy about that. Guys, you know who's also here? Our new patron. We have a new patron this week, Ryan Harvilla. Ryan, thank you. Welcome to the patronage. That is actually my brother-in-law, and that was really sweet when his name showed up. I was like, Ryan, you're a sweetheart. Awesome dude, by the way, and just a really, really good guy. And now he's a patron. So patreon.com/AvengersPodcast. Ryan, thank you so much for supporting the show. Really appreciate it, man. Thank you.
We appreciate it. You don't even know us, and you still support us.
He knows one.
He knows a third of us. He doesn't know us.
Yeah,
that's true. Anybody who can agree to be Brandon's brother-in-law against their will is okay.
Against their will.
Well, that's how marriage works. That's not. I really want to marry you, but your brother. God.
Fuck that, dude. but my sister's pretty cool. She makes it worth it. It's a balancing act. Like, she's awesome. He sucks. So, I mean, you take the good with the bad. So, anyway. But...
Oh, I was misunderstanding the relationship with the brother.
Oh, do you think I married him?
No. What? No, I thought it was Renee's brother.
No, it's actually, he's married to my sister. So, fun fact.
Oh.
So, yeah.
I did have a second where I was like, wait a minute. It took a minute.
No, he chose to be related to me, kind of, sort of. So that was his decision, I think.
Hey,
so,
you know what? Bienvenidos a la familia.
Welcome to the family.
Oh, you speak Spanish too?
It's the same shit every week. You just said familia, so I figured that's... All right, anyway, we're going to get on with Loki. But before we do, we have a shout-out. Keith, let's get to shout-out.
All right, to Jack Johnson, a.k.a. Yeah, Buddy Boy 33. He guessed the quote. He was screaming at us on Twitter. He said, meet the fuckers! And then afterward, he said, just call me the Mad Titan. And I was like, oh, shit. Not only did he get the quote right, he came in with some swag.
I see you, Jack.
I have dimples, Greg. Can you milk me?
I was technically the first person to get it right.
After saying meet the parents, and I was like,
And then meet the fuckers. And I was like, no, that's when he straps the titty on. So yeah, it is meet the fuckers. Yeah.
And it was actually Roz, Mrs. Roz Focker says the quote. And now we've got a new quote this week.
What's our quote?
The new movie quote.
Hey.
You can reach out to us on any social media. That's Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, or right here below on YouTube's.
Yes.
The quote is... I'm walking here.
If you know where I'm walking here is from, leave us a comment on our social media. The first person to comment on any of our social media will get a shout out on our finale episode of Loki. So really, really looking forward to it. Thank you so much, Jack. Excuse me, Mad Titan, for getting it right. Awesome, awesome, awesome. So we are going to kickstart Loki episode 5, guys.
It came too quickly. Sorry.
It happened. That's what she said. And you said it. Yep. You had to.
Emmy,
follow through.
Speaking of coming too quickly, let's talk about your experiences with this episode. What did you think? What did you think of Loki episode 5, science fiction? What was your thought?
Well, I didn't masturbate to a shit.
What? Okay, never mind.
Wasn't part of our full review experience. Is that what you're about to ask?
Oh, that's odd.
Do we not each week? No, my goodness.
I did it 3 times this episode. This sucks. Okay, well, shit.
Good Lord.
Was it the wacky inflatable arm flailing tube fan that got you going?
Every time they spaghettified, I was like, every time. Every time. Just right there.
Every time they spaghettified.
Yeah. Amy.
You also.
Episode 5 thoughts. What you got?
What a mindfuck. Just mindfuck, honestly. It was a beautiful episode. The visuals were absolutely stunning. I really enjoyed watching the spaghettification, the different ways that they did it. It was really, truly beautiful. And I really liked how relatable Loki was in this episode. That moment where he's like, if I don't have my friends, where do I belong? It was like, oh, freaking gut wrench. Like,
yeah.
And then he goes back to his friends from the TVA and it's like, oh, I was wrong. Like, I thought we were all going to save the universe, but oopsie do. And like, it was like, yeah, we've all done some real fuck ups like that. And I felt it. And I know that I think some people had some issues with this episode. Because from what I've read, people thought that it felt fillery, but I thought that it emphasized the humanity in the god that is Loki. And I liked that. Yeah. I really enjoyed it.
Good deal. Keith, when she said some people thought this was fillery, you had a perplexed look. I'm going to assume you thought this was a good episode. What'd you think, man?
Shocked to hear that. At the same time, I didn't see anybody calling it that. I didn't seek it out online either, and I don't know if you did. Sometimes it just comes through, but
it just came through
to find out that some people feel this one's fillery. I guess I could see what they mean, but I didn't feel that personally. I feel like,
no,
not only did we get a good Loki deep dive into what his current character and what his character in this series is kind of coming to in the end of his journey here, but also we got a lot of character development for all of our favorite characters, all the people in this collective aura, which was fantastic. I didn't feel, not one episode in this season to me has felt fillery. It has not felt like it was just there to make 6 episodes count or to get to that goal. So yeah. I was in love with this episode. And as someone, I know that with time travel, it makes people nervous. And, you know, as an experienced time travel fiction person, I would like to say that this is very similar to the 5th season of Lost, when Jack Shepard tried to blast people into a timeline reset with a nuclear bomb. And
spoilers. Spoilers. Keith.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Yeah, spoiler. I don't.
Fuck.
Don't for the show that came out 15 years ago.
We have a 20-year rule. We have a 20-year rule.
Well, I thought we had a 17-hour rule. That's 17. 72. 17
hour. Yeah, we're already fucked here.
It was a total gamble, and a character thought he was doing the right thing, blasting people back into a reset of some kind, and the whole episode ended with a white screen, similar to what we had with this cliffhanger. So I think that you know, to see the bootstrap paradox happening and the snake eating its own tail and the yeah, I love a good time travel episode, and this shit was da bomb.
Awesome. No pun intended. Awesome. Well, guys, you know, I'm just gonna round out and say this may be my I don't know. This is up there for me in one of my favorite episodes of this season. Like, it's hard for me. I want to look at it all together, but it was so cool to see the other timelines all converging and the other basically the lives that we've always wanted to see, especially, holy shit, Casey, my goodness. You know, there was, that was a turn. But it was also great to see Obi as a struggling author. It was great to see Mobius and finally on a jet ski, guys, something we've been waiting for this entire time. And I really, really enjoyed seeing their lives, and they oddly are perfectly fit. Well, most of them. Still, Casey shocks me. What a sweetheart of a man. Casey, what'd you do at Alcatraz? Well, before Alcatraz, to get in Alcatraz. It was really cool to see their lives that they were pruned from, and the snake eating its own tail. Like, Loki is now almost playing the part of He Who Remains, gathering them up, and now you're going to be this, and this is what you're going to do. It was a mind fuck. It was an absolute mind fuck, but also a great, great episode. I never felt it was fillery. I always thought there was a lot of context, and I also felt certain ways that were in-game-ish, like, holy shit. And watching, I think, Emmy, you talked about the visuals. I completely agree with you. Like, the visual, especially when Sylvie is in that record store and everything, it looks like it was one of my favorite visuals in all of Marvel. I think it's, once again, Loki, they have hit every chord perfectly. I'm excited and nervous going into the final episode because it did kind of set up is this going to be a rushed final? I don't know. Or is it going to be an open-ended final? I would rather have that, honestly, than a rushed one. Either way, Loki through 5 episodes, season 2, fucking fantastic. I mean, absolutely fantastic. And this episode, zero exception. I loved it. Highly, highly recommend. If you are on the fence, we do have listeners that listen to us, which shocks me, before they even watch Loki or watch the newer stuff. If you're on the fence about Marvel Studios, you just listen to us because, hey, I find those three entertaining. Great. Watch this. This is worth investing your time in. Really. Watch Loki. Invest yourself into this at least this universe of Marvel Studios, because, like I said, it's good. It's just quality. And
it's bussin'.
Yeah, whatever. Well, that's it.
Okay. Well, those are things. We're going to go a little bit more further thoughts. We're going to go scene by scene. We're going to make Emmy happy this week. We're going to go in a chronological order because...
What?
I can tell. Oh, look at her. Look at that face. Yeah. So
I'm so excited. Yeah. So excited. So, I do love chronological order. Before we break it down.
Yeah. What's our Rotten Tomatoes, Emmy?
All right. Well, I would love for you guys to guess.
88%.
Okay.
I always guess.
I'm going to say 95.
You just shooting up for the moon, Keith. I'm going to tell you, that never happens. It always goes down.
Didn't see it coming, though, did you?
You got a Robert De Niro face, too. That was a...
That's what she said.
You see, not... you milk me?
These shoes? you think you got these shoes? Yeah. So anyway.
All right. Critics went down 3 to 86%. Audiences also went down 1 to meet them at 86%. IMDb stayed the same at 8.2, and 89% of Google users like this, which is the same as last week.
All right. Well, critics and users alike, you're wrong. This episode was fantastic. Idiots.
Well, and that was yesterday, so, like, who knows? I feel like maybe this was last week's
stretch.
Kind of
little stretch there.
All right.
Just a little stretch there. Okay.
It is nice to stretch.
It is always nice to stretch. Are you okay? You hurt something?
Yeah. Oh no! Did you pull something?
He did. He's that old.
Nope.
We all are, Brandon. we got to that age where we're bussing for real.
No cap.
Busting.
So we start out the episode of Loki, episode 5, with them slowly pulling away, these tears in his eyes, and everyone around him is gone. TVA code 1229 failsafe mode initiated, and starts being pulled from different timelines, which we saw in episode 1. We see him kind of just a lot of, and he even hears himself when he's walking. Hello. And then we see the spaghetti everywhere. This is our first visual of timelines literally branching and getting destroyed.
Yeah.
And failsafe mode initiating, flashing on the computer screen. Thank you for your service. The TV goes off and we flash to Casey, but we'll get to that in a moment. Guys, this opening scene, the ominous, no one is there anymore. Loki is by himself. I thought it was a fantastic opening, and I thought, Jesus, this feels heavy as hell. You guys the same. You guys are both nodding your head. What are you thinking, Emmy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because I feel like he came into the TVA as 2012's Loki, who escaped from the Avengers and like was on this journey, and then Mobius showed what his life ended up being, and he's changed so much, and this episode showed that so well, how much his character has changed and how he's not just like, because that first episode he was like, I'm gonna find the fucking Tesseract and go do Loki shit, right. And that's not him anymore. Like, just in, what is this, episode 11 of the whole, like, all of Loki?
Yeah.
Like, he's, that's not him. Now he's like, I have to save the TVA. I have to save my friends. I have to do all this stuff. And he is, I don't know, he's just so different. And I truly love it. I didn't realize, and I watched this on my huge theater screen TV now. Did I tell you guys this?
Yes, you told us. You got it.
Okay.
You already told us.
And we wanted to know how big your friend's TV was.
It's so big. I watched this last night on my huge TV, and I didn't realize that he had a tear on his face until I watched it on my computer screen today.
Yeah.
Like, I had to, well, and I probably, because I didn't have my glasses on.
Yeah. I was gonna say, you're not selling this TV's clarity.
Yeah, not at all.
it's just too far away from me, and I'm very nearsighted. But yeah, just to see him alone in this place that Mobius brought him and kind of like, I mean, honestly, like changed the trajectory of his life, and to see him alone in this place now and kind of like panicked was weird, but I liked that development.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it makes perfect sense.
100%.
Keith.
I think that when someone's in constrained, traumatic situations, their character growth can take place very quickly, and I think that that's what's happened to him. And I loved the time slipping stuff at the beginning of this episode, because this is a concept we were introduced to in the first episode and it was solved. We were like, oh, time slipping, okay, nope, none, Kate put a pin in it, we don't need to worry about that. But
right.
The fact that we were shown what it looks like, what it is, what it's called, like, we were given so many things that we didn't know we needed, like, at the time, and then now pieces, we're being shown why it's a bigger deal, and you get that foreshadowing payoff, and it's so cool. It looks so fucking good. And the fact that I love seeing him briefly run into himself in the completely empty TVA, and it played out both scenarios in full time. I love that so much. It's the type of play with time travel I love so much. Yeah. And then the Loki title card came up and the letters started disappearing.
Right.
Okay. And that was different.
It was. Did you?
That was different. Yeah.
I love how Amy's like, that wasn't always that way, was it? Yeah, no. The O was the last thing left. I thought this scene was absolutely fantastic. I thought it was the urgency and also the fright that Loki was experiencing by himself. I got a question. Were the pies gone?
Yes, they were.
Get that room? Were they?
I didn't see it today when I watched it, but that was the first place he went after.
And the pies were gone.
And the pies were all gone.
Nothing is real. Keep that in mind, guys. Just saying.
And the cake is not real.
Thank you. Gladys was right.
The cake is a lie.
Yep.
Shit.
This was a triumph. I'm going to make a note here. Huge success. So anyway, if you get that, that's a deep cut of Valve. And I love you, by the way, if you get that. I don't love Emmy. I don't love Emmy. There you go. It's confirmed. Okay, so,
I mean, I got the portal references. Was that still a portal reference?
It was. That was the final song when you beat the first portal.
Oh, I have it on my Switch, but I got really pissed off at it and decided that I would never play it again. I might play it tonight.
She played video games the way I play video games.
Yeah, I rage quit. I rage quit hard for months.
Man.
Table flip.
Oh, yeah. It's so good. Beat it, because there's a beautiful song that Gladys sings at the end of it. It's worth it.
I've heard it because my ex used to play in front of me, and he would like he would play it and then beat it, and so like I know
he beat it in front of you. He what? He played with
until it? The same. We're talking about the same Gladys.
Yeah, until I joined in.
Wow. Hey, some people like a little foreplay with Gladys. That's cool. So we're going to keep going, though. Casey, he is in prison. We are at San Francisco, 1962. Alcatraz. He is escaping and don't know how I got here, and I'm not sure what's happening. And Loki is talking to him like, hey, well, it's just very, very confusing. And his name is Frank. He's not Casey. He's Frank. Is this a real person? Was there an escape in Alcatraz in 1962? I thought there was, so I didn't Google this because I'm like, I'm on the show with Keith and Emmy. I know these two have Googled it, or they one of them has. So, Emmy, who is Frank?
So this is Frank Morris. Keith, did you do this Googling as well?
I was yelled at too by Discorder Derek Sager.
Same.
There's no way you're going to record tomorrow night without looking up who Frank Morris.
Shout out to Derek.
Yeah. Derek, no, very much, before I even watched the episode, was like, you need to look up who Frank Morris is.
It's like,
yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You said you need to look up who Zach Morris is. Yes.
D-shoes.
Sorry. Okay.
I'm going to do De Niro the rest of the night, apparently.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Play Robert De Niro as Zach Morris. Are we getting out of school? What's going on?
Turns out there might be a snow day tomorrow.
Oh my god, we could be an improv troupe.
Sorry, go on.
There's no snow days in Bayside, California.
So stupid.
But still, I don't know why I didn't think of that. So Derek Sager told you, you got to Google this motherfucker.
Shout out Going Mary Pod. Love him.
Yeah. So, Keith, let me know if in my I did a very limited Google search. Frank Morris was an inmate at Azkaban. Nope. Alcatraz.
My God. Prisoner of Azkaban? Are you bringing Harry Potter into the shit? Fuck off, Emmy.
I do that all the time. Stop. All the time. Stop. All the time.
Keep going. Go to Frank. We're
Alcatraz.
Not, dang.
That Alcatraz. Old Clint Eastwood movie, Escape from Azkaban.
Yeah. No, it's a Robert De Niro movie.
Okay.
You gotta Expelliarmus?
Griffin, who?
You're good, Harry.
I'll give you something to Hufflepuff about.
Oh my god.
So stupid. All right, we're done with the De Niro jokes.
All right. So Frank Morris and three other people tried to escape from Alcatraz, and I do truly have to think about it because my brain is warped. It's fine. So it was John and Clarence. Yeah. No, they're not. John and Clarence England, who were brothers, and then Alan West. The four of them all tried to escape at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they dug a hole into the wall of their prison cells. They were all in like the same little block, and they ended up in a utility room. They climbed up onto the roof. They had put rain jackets and raincoats and other plastic stuff together.
She's watching us now. She can see this.
Uh-huh.
She can see what you're doing.
To build an inflatable raft so that they could get to the other side of the, I'll say Hudson Bay, but I'm not really honestly sure.
I think that's New York. Is the Hudson?
Oh, that's definitely wrong then. San Francisco Bay?
Yeah, I think you're wrong. I think you're wrong. The Hudson's in New York.
Like I said, I confidently spout bullshit sometimes.
You're like Hudson, but I'm not confident.
Blame Google.
So they were all sent there because they had all escaped from other prisons. And so they were like, well, we'll send them to Alcatraz. So they can't escape. And lo and behold, Alan West did not escape that night. He died shortly later in Alcatraz. But Frank Morris was said to have a 133 IQ, which is very, very high. Mm-hmm. He had escaped from a Louisiana prison earlier, and that's what got him sent to Alcatraz. They suspected that all of these people drowned. However, there's no conclusive evidence that any of them drowned or that any of them made it to the mainland. There have been multiple reports of people being like, oh yeah, that's definitely so-and-so. That's definitely John Anglin. That's definitely Clarence Anglin. That's definitely Frank Morris. But nobody knows.
Wow. Well, we know. We now know what happened to Frank.
They made it.
We know
what happened. And the only addition that I have on there is she's right.
Good. By the way, it's the Hudson River, not the Hudson Bay. That's in New York.
Okay, so. She's wrong.
I was wrong.
It loosely...
It was called the Hudson?
The Hudson River is in New York. The Hudson Bay is, I think, in Canada.
Oh, well, yes. What the fuck did they have to swim across to get from
the Alcatraz? Hudson's wrong regardless, but the Hudson Bay, I was just correcting myself.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you were wrong, but I was also wrong, so I was correcting myself. Yeah.
So Casey is actually a high IQ'd armed robber.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Never would have guessed that.
Multiple, and that's what sent him to prison.
Security prison. Yeah, yeah.
And
it was armed robbery.
Movies Escape from Alcatraz with Clint Eastwood was based on this, and The Rock with Sean Connery was based on this, loosely.
Nice.
In which,
but, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? I'm going to save this for my credits name.
Thank you. The nice. 25 time theater, Loki switches back to the 25, says time theater, and then he switches. We go to Mobius. Actually, no. Before we get to Mobius, the 2012.
Dr. B-15.
Don't climb trees. Thought that was kind of rude to write that on the cast, but hey, kind of maybe a cute moment. It's like, don't write that on a cast. She's going
to
see
But she's used to... branching timelines or pruning timelines. It was all
branches.
It was all tree jokes.
Oh yeah. My God, I didn't even connect those. But she's like, hey, don't do that. It's great. And then like she's like,
you're not gonna listen to me, are you?
Yeah.
Yeah. She also wrote it upside down. So like the kid is reading garbledygook. Like it's upside down
right
now. She has no idea what
months.
That says.
For the next 3 months, she's gonna be like, why does this doctor write the fucking don't climb on trees backwards on this shit? Jesus, upside down. Dumb.
Yeah.
Stop. Emmy, stop. This is gonna take way too long.
No. Backwards and upside down.
Upside down and backwards. Stop.
Dick lick.
Yes, that's what it says. If you put don't lick.
What I heard.
Don't climb on trees. If you read that upside down, it says don't dick lick. So
don't dick lick.
Yeah.
And especially from a tree.
And then we see Mobius on a jet ski, guys, in Cleveland, Ohio. 2020.
Cleveland Rock.
2022.
Cleveland Rock.
2022, guys. This is recent. This is happening right now. And like he was in Cleveland. And he's like, oh, wind in the hair, little mist slapping you in the face. You know, sometimes you just need a little bit of something slapping you in the face and open water right in front of you. It was a really, really touching moment. And he's like, oh, you're more interested in a dirt bike. Watercraft is more of a thinking man's dirt bike. Fucking hysterical. I love it that he still has his Mobiisms, and it's just fucking fantastic. And I love when Loki walks in and he's like, hey, you know, you're from the TVA. And he's like, oh, no, the TVA is gone. He's like, I think you mean ATV, and don't worry, we got a couple more in shipment. Oh, just ship, they're up here. And he's like, no, you don't understand. It's so fucking wonderful. He's still the same amazing personality, but he's a single dad in Ohio with two sons. And it's just, I fucking loved it. I loved the beginning of him just on a jet ski, and it makes sense. He's still flipping through the jet ski. So part of him still remembers where he was from in a weird way. Yeah. He's still drawn to that subconsciously. I love this part. Sorry.
No, it's okay. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry.
I mean, if you guys are going to just apologize to each other, I'll jump in here and say that I knew as soon as I saw Piranha Power Sports, because for a split second you saw that in the background and the wacky waving inflatable tube man.
Yes.
And then you jumped to Dr. B-15. and then you jump back to Dawn on a jet ski. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I was so excited. I was so excited for him. I was excited for me.
That he's living his best life.
But I need him to be on open water.
You don't need him on a jet ski. You need him in open water on a jet ski.
You see, out there for the sharks to find.
No. Yeah. On a jet ski. Good God.
Oh, yeah. Make sure you elaborate that point, Emmy. But yes. But
I love that they made him a retail man. As a retail lifer, I'll call myself that.
Yeah.
You enter retail wanting to get some student loans paid off, and then you're like, oh shit, I'm actually pretty good at this. And then you and to find out that Mobius is not only a retail lifer, but also a retail manager selling something that he's passionate about. You're only good in retail if you care about what you're selling. And I just love that he's the manager in front of it, and he's like nice, and he like makes sure his staff has donuts, and he's like just a nice guy. I've never felt more represented than Mobius episode.
I'm so excited.
And the fact that whenever they're all together and him and B-15 they're like just trying to shoot the shit basically. And he's like, do you ever make time to go out on the water? He's trying to make a sale with somebody he's never fucking met before.
He doesn't know if he'll ever make it back to those damn.
Yeah, but he's like, hey.
We've got finance options available.
I know.
I mean, even when Loki randomly pops up at his house, he's like, I've got something to show you in my garage. He's a salesman through and through.
I hear you're from
2012. Because he's providing.
I hear you're from 2012. We have some great 2012 models that we can go find back in time that will be a really good fit for you. You know, like, it's like, she's like, I live in the city. And he's like, okay, well, you know, you should really try it. It's great. Like, he just, he is. He's
you live on a river. It's a real fun way to commute to work.
Yes. I love that. He doesn't stop.
Or you just find a pond and you unplug for a little bit. Yep. Like it is, it's amazing. Yep. He's like
every weekday except Sunday, 9 to 5, because that's how it be sometimes in retail.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Damn it.
Let him know, Keith.
Sorry.
It's okay.
I really enjoyed too that Cleveland, Ohio was represented, because I really truly do love Cleveland, Ohio.
I love Ohio. I really do. I don't know. I'd probably live in Ohio if I got a chance. I'm not even joking. I think it's a lovely, lovely state. Pasadena, California.
Oh, we're just going to... Oh, O-H?
I-O.
Thank you.
I got you. Pasadena, California, 1994. O-B! No one buys this book here, and he's a struggling author. He put his own books there, and I love that he's going home, and Loki finds him, and he's like, hey. Loki's like, I know this is going to be hard for you to believe, but I am from the TVA. And he's like, oh, of course I believe you. Like, he's just right away. He is just so down. And he's like, this reminds me of Sons of Lorne, my most popular book. And it's so funny. He's like, I'm sure we could find a copy for you somewhere around here. They're everywhere. He's fucking amazing. I love him. I love him.
You're a writer?
Yeah.
Yeah, I write fiction.
Oh no, he's like, but also I teach
this theoretical, is really embarrassing.
I teach theoretical physics at Caltech too, to pay the bills essentially. Like, I'm like, what? He's like, oh, so you're a physicist too. Like, it's like, fucking, of course he is. It's fucking wonderful. And
if that's not the dream, like the American dream scenario where you can go be a damn fiction writer and just be a physicist to pay the bills
as a backup.
I can't wait to stop being a physicist. Yeah.
Right? And he's so good. Yeah. He is so good. And then so he talks about, you know, going back before the temporal loom has melted. It's impossible. But he's like, you've time traveled from a place that has no time, and you're traveling to a place that doesn't exist anymore and need to control your time slipping. That's what you need to do. You need to control it. So you need to find, like, and he's like, I can't control it. He's like, yes, you can. I can't make it happen. It's random. He's like, well, you keep ending up around the people that you're looking for. So you're not slipping through time or moving. It's basically, you're a better version of one of those Tim Pats. And it's all about what and how for science, but for the fiction, it's why. Why do you need to do this? And he says, because if I can't save the TVA from being destroyed, there'll be nothing to protect from what's coming. And he said, if that's the why that's guiding you, you should be able to control it. So it's really this cool belief system, and the fact that he's leaning into the fiction part of it. It's actually like, he even says, you know, hey, And I love this side of it. And I love the episode, science fiction. It kind of is mending both worlds together. Thought it was such a brilliant way. And I love Loki sitting there. He's trying to like gauge it and feel it. He's like, ah, it just, it's not really working or anything like that. But it's really cool. It's like the power of belief sometimes. And I thought that was actually really, really cool. And him telling him, like, dude, you're getting to where you need to the people you have some control. Give yourself some credit there. Really, really cool.
I love the Loki line where he says that doesn't sound like science. And he's no, but it sounds like fiction.
Yeah.
It was just like, that's so such a hopeful, happy character. I love Obi so much. God, I hope he doesn't turn evil and kill us all. But no,
Shut your mouth. I will be devastated if that happens. Ugh.
He just, the fact that he is so.
He turns out to be like Dr. Doom.
A champion.
If he's Dr. Doom. Yes.
Emmy is gonna lose her mind.
Yeah,
I mean,
Emmy, this is not.
Are we sure?
This is not a Mephisto moment. Go away. Get that face off. Stop. No, I love.
Get that face off.
Get that face off.
Oh, excuse me. I wish that I had the powers to make my face disappear,
and then be what? Just like a skin.
Just skin.
Just
that's more
we
that's
need to get like silly. A next episode just like a pantyhose over your face and just like see if that can make it look the most like just the whole
I did
episode.
It guys
yeah
I did it.
Yeah I figured it out.
this is a stick up. I punched my mic.
You punched.
I didn't punch. I shot it.
You,
I shot it.
Pew pew it. But yeah,
what happens when you're in a stick up?
But there was
there are casualties.
Emmy, you looked a little disgruntled when I said, oh, the fiction part. You were like, I don't know, because it didn't go sciencey for me, and I didn't like it. Yeah.
Okay, all right. I felt my face doing those faces while you were saying that.
The scrunchies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I did my face scrunchies. And I do think that was part of my issue with it was like, oh yeah, well the science is all about like this part of it and the fiction is about this part of it. And the whole speech where he was like, he's not speech, but like he just said something like, oh, you're trying to go to this time that doesn't exist anymore, but you've already been there. Therefore, go ahead and do it again. And it was just like, are you trying to give me a headache? Because it's working.
Oh, I loved it. Oh.
I enjoyed it, but also I was like, I'm not following whatsoever.
Yeah, it was a lot. It was a lot.
For sure. I think that, are you guys ready for the hot take?
Do the hot take.
The hottest of hot take.
Here we go.
Okay, so it was what? Science is about the how and the what, right?
I'll have to check my notes again, but yes.
Yes.
And then the fiction was about the why.
Correct.
I know that the fiction was about the why.
Yes.
And then at the end of the episode, Loki's like, it wasn't about the why, it was about the who. Okay. Yeah.
Great band.
Wonderful band.
Mm.
Yeah! Dun, dun.
Dun. I called that line dun, dun. Like 30 seconds before it happened because it's very much the like you do the five questions in English. That's the who, what,
and
why, where,
what?
How.
He who remains.
Now he why remains. That doesn't make any fucking sense.
He what remains?
Oh, we're using our made up names?
He remains.
He where remains.
What the fuck, guys?
Sometimes how?
I don't know. This is the part that confused me.
Of that kind of that's a nitpick that I understand. I have a similar one, but it's because they didn't do it.
Well, this is also this is what confused me. Was every one of your friends has a temporal aura. That means a group of people who have a collective aura unique to that moment in time. If we can get everyone together in one place, we can read it like coordinates. I was like, what the fuck is happening? That set my brain on fire. It was like, hey, get all your friends together and we'll have a temporal aura party and we can just read it and fuck around. I'm like, wait, what? Huh?
Loki says we can use that as a map. We can go to those coordinates.
Yeah, he just gets right on board. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
And then Obi goes, no.
That was a mind fuck for me.
Does he say no? What do you mean? I thought you're talking about the end where he doesn't know where the tempad is?
Not at the end. No. It's whenever he hands the mug to Loki and he's got all the pens in it and he says something like, "Let's get the band back together," which honestly, like, that's a stupid line. I'm sorry.
I love it.
Okay. He's like,
accent. Say it with a British accent, maybe it'll feel better.
That's a stupid line.
No, I meant get the band back together.
Jesus.
Amy. I know.
Sure you did. Yeah. I know. I know. No.
That's a stupid line.
Let's get the band back together. Yeah, that sounds good.
Let's get the band back together.
You sound like that was pretty good.
That was at least in the UK somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, that might be Wales or something.
It definitely wasn't Australia.
No, it didn't sound like a whale. True. A whale
or sounds, France.
A whale's more ooh, and like, well, yeah, yeah.
Like, ah, oh my God.
Why did it take me so long to get what you were doing? Because I've heard Welsh comedians and they do kind of do this. And I was like, is that what he's doing? And then I was like,
Thought, what a moron, idiot. Keith. He's like, oh, it sounds like Wales. No, it doesn't. Anyway.
But whenever he says, like, let's get the band back together.
It gets worse.
It wasn't the worst I've ever done.
But worse than the previous attempt.
It was worse than the first time.
Yeah.
But yeah, but then he's got all the pens.
Made the line cool.
Yeah. Sure. Well, cooler than it was. So he says, like, oh, all these temporal auras are coming together, and he says, like, oh, we can use those, like, coordinates to figure out where that moment in time is. And I'm assuming that he's talking about the moment
where
Victor Timely goes out and spaghettifies. Mm-hmm. Spoiler alert for last episode. Hope you watched it,
guys. If you're not. Come on. I mean, it's in the title.
Yeah. Right. It's in the title. But he's also like, I need a tin pad. And he's like, what about this? Gives him a TVA guidebook. And he's like, oh, shit, I can make a tin pad in no time. Time doesn't work the way it does in TV shows. 18 months later, fuck you, Emmy.
18 months later, fuck you,
19, Emmy. Actually, because his wife left him. So fuck off. I love that part because I thought of you immediately. I thought of you immediately. You were like, what? It's only been 5 minutes and time doesn't work that way. Fuck you. That is all my
These are different timelines. I feel like that you have no ground to stand on here.
There's my
I can do birds too.
There's the double.
You want to do sign language?
Tweet, I tweet, can do motherfucker. Sign language. Tweet, motherfucker. That's what I think.
I believe last episode I said, why don't they just put somebody in a timeline and leave them to make some thing and then technically they would make it and then instantly it's made, and Opie is that guy.
It worked.
He said, here's a TVA guide.
Yes.
Oh, 18 months, piece of cake.
Well, his wife did leave him during that time, too, so maybe not a piece of cake. Maybe more like a piece of broccoli. I mean, you could still eat it, but it was a tough swallow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the name of Emmy's autobiography. That's the name of Emmy's autobiography, Tough Swallow. That's cool. Emmy's putting out a new book, by the way, guys, if you want to check it out. Tough Swallow in bookstores near you.
It's actually easy to swallow.
Well,
helping anything.
Well done.
I'm not helping anything.
Easy Swallow by Emmy. Your Nordstrom's.
Nordstrom? We have Nordstrom's in the South? No.
We don't.
Barnes and Nobles. I'm trying to think of American bookstores.
No, Jeff Nobles. Bezos got rid of those.
No, we have a Barnes and Noble. We do, or at least.
Oh, nice.
No,
I have.
We do too, but Kindle. It's not
Emmy's
real.
Book, Easy Swallow. What the fuck did we?
It was Easy Swallow. Yeah.
Okay, Easy Swallow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The sequel, exactly. Tough to Swallow. The sequel, Tough to Swallow, is a must read as well.
Yeah. Easy Swallow was all about my 20s, but Tough to Swallow is about my 30s.
Okay, sorry, let me go on.
Seems fair. Obi's room looks like the TVA. The room that he's in.
I agree.
looks very TVA.
I agree. I was like, did they fucking remember? The VFX artist was like, all right, here's another backdrop, circular door, blah, blah, blah. Here you go. Fuck it. Like,
well, and the fact that it's in 1994, I feel like the TVA has like a very cool, like, retro futuristic feel to it, and which
technically
could be...
Obi's the maker of the guidebook, so it could be
being from 94. They wouldn't have known about flat screens yet. That was like a thing that in the 90s they still tried to make sci-fi films, and it was like
so fucking funny when you watch
you
them back.
Didn't
now
think we'd get flatter.
Yeah, they were like more round. Like
round everything.
They really
and wide.
Yeah, well, we did go wide.
Round and wide, round and wide.
It's a tough one to swallow.
There's a TV going round and wide.
There's a tough one to swallow that's round and wide. That's what we were going to
say. Well, oh, sorry, that too.
Yeah, yeah, round and
wide. I don't remember that one from church camp. Oh, no, never mind, I do. I'm sorry.
No, no, Emmy, no. No, no, no. We're not doing that.
You know what I want to talk about next?
What do you want to talk about next?
The wacky waving inflatable arm flailing tube man.
And the fact that
very important.
The fact that Loki waved his arms with him at one point.
Fucking, oh my god!
Fucking wonderful.
But he didn't address it. He didn't turn around and make that joke and go, "Oh my god, where do you get your moves from?"
Like
that would have been really spoon feeding that shit.
Exactly. Like, I like that they didn't. I like that it was just like, but really, are we real? Nothing is real. Are we all just inflatable people just wailing our arms around in the fucking wind? Who fucking knows? This show was a mind fuck, and I love that shit. Damn
it. Is that the title of your autobiography? Are we all just wacky, wavy, inflatable tube men flailing around in the wind?
No, it's a little shorter. Inflatable tube men.
All we are is dust in the wind.
But I thought it was a really good one. I thought it was good. It was a good metaphor.
No, I completely agree.
Or simile. I'm still trying to work that out.
I was just saying it was cute that he was also doing the same moves. This fucking tube man was a metaphor?
I went deeper, Keith. That's my autobiography. Yeah. I went deeper, Keith.
The brand, yeah, sometimes the you don't have story. Control.
I don't have an index card with that. Deeper.
You are psychotic. The fact that those are actually in front of you right now.
He took real notes psychopath. On the index cards. Yeah. And we're going to find out, like, why did Keith lose it? He lost it. He ran out of index cards. Just that was it.
The rest that I have are pink, and that there's no pink in the fucking show.
No, there's not.
The wacky, wavy, inflatable tube man?
Yes.
That was the second show yesterday that I watched that had one of those featured in it. And I just found that to be beautiful.
Oh, nice.
About our world. The first one was Taskmaster, season, whatever the hell season they're on right now.
Nice.
16.
Episode 7. Nice. They had to pie one of those in the face, and they weren't allowed to get close to it or touch it. Oh, it was fabulous to watch. And if they missed, if they threw like a pie at the wacky, waving inflatable tube man, and they missed, they had to copy its dance movements for 10 seconds. That was just as enjoyable.
Great fucking show.
I Fran,
have you seen that show yet?
I have not, but I need to check it out. I want to.
It's so good, man.
That was one of my favorite tasks.
We see the task of picking up toys after your sons leave them outside. And Mobius is like, hey, if it's outside your room, it's going to be classified as garbage. I'm tired of coming home and looking like the yard's one giant lunatic garage sale. And like, is he burnt? Yeah, he's burnt. Who gave you the matches? Hand them over. Who gave you the matches? Hand them over. Kevin, Sean, go get them. I'll make a deal. You get a puppy and a snake. We'll make deal later. Fuck it. Just go get them. And then
fucking Kevin, man.
And then
Kevin with the stolen matches.
Yes, it's always it's always a Kevin.
It's always a fucking Kevin.
Yeah.
Kevin's a girl? What is that movie from?
Kevin's...
Or what movie is that from? Kevin's a girl?
I've watched it. I know I have. Fuck it. I don't know. What is it?
Up.
Oh, nice. Okay.
The bird is Kevin.
Braces and math tutors. He's wanting to sell a jet ski to Loki. He's like, hey, my wife's no longer in the picture. I need to sell this jet ski. And, Loki, a beautiful union of form and function. He's like, yeah. And it's literally Loki reciting what Mobius said. You can see how much Mobius means to him because, like, Loki remembers that shit.
That is sweet.
And he's like, I'm not here to buy a jet ski. I know this is hard to understand, Mobius, but he's like, I think you have me mixed up. Mobius is your real name. I think Loki is mixed up. Mobius is not his real name. We know that these people got pruned off of different timelines. I'm kind of shocked here with a little bit of writing, but I'm also not sure if I'm missing something on my end. Was Loki ever privy to those conversations or not? I would assume or think he has been. Because Loki, this is another little thing where he's obviously picking all these people off the timeline. And I'm very thankful for Sylvie's point of view because I was wholeheartedly Team Sylvie at that bar scene. And we'll get to that in just a moment. Yeah. But where he's like, no, Mobius is your real name. No, it's not. No, it's not. Like, TVA is all you've ever known. I think Loki's coming from a good place. I really do. But it's like, that isn't him. You know that because you were picked off of a timeline as well. You know? And yet, what's odd about Loki is he was picked off of a timeline and remembered everything from his existing. And none of, like, the Mobiuses and the Caseys remembered shit from their past. So it's very interesting, but then Loki knows that, so why is he assuming, well, Mobius, you don't, you know, I don't know. It's hard for me to understand. I don't know if it's something I missed watching it, or if it's something I'm not quite getting, or if it's maybe a writer's oopsie-doo, or what.
To me, him not really coming to terms easily with the idea that this is the real Mobius. And even though a couple episodes he was just saying, like, wouldn't you like to see? Aren't you even curious? And now it's like, oh, your real name is Mobius. It's because he's in a little bit of a panic mode.
Maybe a little in denial.
I mean, he's later forced to admit that a very selfish thing. And I imagine for a villain turned good, it is very hard for him to even express a selfish thought because he's trying so freaking hard to not seem that way. And he's deeming that evil. And it's like, no, humanity, being human is being selfish. And you want your friends back together. You know, he just wants his friends, and he's narrow minded right now. And that's what I think it's where I think it's coming from.
In a weird way too, maybe oddly sounding, because everything you said, it makes perfect sense, especially with the Sylvie context later in the bar, where we do find out the underlying message and theme. I appreciate you answering that. But also, kind of unselfishly as well, because there's a part where he says, you saw something in me that I haven't seen in myself. This is Loki speaking to Mobius. And I need your help to save this place, the TVA. You once told me it's the only life you had ever known, and I can bring you back to that. Like, almost like, and it's kind of a beautiful thing. Like, this was your sanctuary. This is your happiness. You found comfort with this place. As weird as it sounds, like, you don't know what you need. I know how happy you were there. Mm-hmm. As weird as it sounds, like, I do think, Loki, the underlying is, I just want my friends back. But I do think it was also, I can get you back. I can get you where, exactly what you said at the beginning, Keith. What I know you as, you know, and where you're truly, it's kind of a beautiful, weird paradox. And I really, really enjoy how it plays off of each other. And so really, really cool on seeing it from both sides. And well said, Keith, and I appreciate the context. Good deal.
And that's, I truly agree with both of you that Loki is looking at it from, I met Mobius. Mobius is the person I know. And that must be the true version of this person. I completely agree. I you guys stole the words right out of my mouth.
Wonderful.
What I love is to the consistency of Mobius, no matter which version you're talking to. You're talking to the one who's only known the TVA, or you're talking to the one who's only known being a single dad of these two sons and selling jet skis. Regardless, the TVA version might have given him a different sense of importance, or the being a father figure might have given him a different sense of responsibility. But regardless, he's loyal through and through. He doesn't want he's so cautious of any distraction from his duty as whatever mm-hmm. he is at the time. So whether it's Mobius TVA guy or father, he needs to provide for his kids, or he needs to, you know, save lives, the TVA, whatever it is. He doesn't even want to be tempted. He's just a good fucking hero. Mm-hmm. I love it.
And
a retail manager. Sorry.
And even when Loki says, like, you have to come with me, like, they're in danger, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, I can't just leave my kids.
Yeah.
And he's like, I can drop you back off at the exact same point in time. Like, your kids won't even know that you were gone. And when he says, like, but I'll know, like, that, mm-hmm. I feel like really truly speaks to his character of, like,
well said.
Yeah.
I can't abandon. I can't abandon my kids. I can't abandon this world. Like, he's a good fucking dude, and he deserves to unplug on a pond in a Sea-Doo.
Takes a guy that,
inside of it.
Or a jet ski.
You want to see him inside of a Sea-Doo.
I mean, sexually. Wait.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm sorry.
There's going to be some fan fiction with Mobius and jet skis now. Thank you. You're going to be behind all that bullshit. Yeah.
Wear a life jacket.
Mm.
But the condom.
Stop.
It would need to take a character this wholesome, this heroic, this serious, that about being just a good person to make Loki see what he can be himself. So it makes sense that he's partnered up with this guy in this series, and that's what turns him into a hero, is all these examples of Sylvie being an example of what love could feel like, and to fight for it, and to team up against danger with love hand in hand. And then with Mobius, just like the sense of duty and the sense of moral goodness, and just him being such a stand-up guy. It was really cool. I think it's going to be hard as shit, even though Loki's saying now, I could drop you back here, no problem. It'll be like you've never left. And it's like, you're going to have the hardest time ever dropping this motherfucker off once everything's said and done. It's going to be so sad.
Do either of you watch Doctor Who?
Oh, God, no.
Or have either of you ever watched, like, any Doctor Who, especially recent Doctor Who?
No.
Okay. And by recent, I mean, like,
no,
since
Amy.
2000. Okay.
Still a no.
Since the reboot. Okay. Because there are multiple episodes of Doctor Who that, like, the mom worries because he's like, oh, we're going to go off on this cool adventure. And then, oh, fuck, it's 6 months later and your mom thought that you were kidnapped. Like,
yeah.
It happens.
It's kind of terrifying.
Like,
but imagine the
time travelers can fuck up.
Just imagine the kids, where they their parents gone like for months at a time. Like, holy shit.
Like, sounds to me like Kevin's gonna take care of Sean or whichever the fuck one's older. I don't know. But
the one that's not lighting buildings on fire. I'm hoping that's the one
that Kevin's the one that's lighting buildings on fire.
Yeah, Kevin, wow, man. Keith, shit. Anyway.
Small victories.
We see the
Sean's the older one. One that's not lighting shit true. On fire yet.
That's true.
But it's only because he hasn't found the matches.
I don't know. He may not, even if he did have matches. But we see that the TVA gets assembled.
You never know.
The TVA assembled. We see there's just one more, Sylvie. And she knows who Loki is. Loki's like, hey, I know this is going to sound odd. Like, he's got a spiel at this point. He knows how he's gotten all of them to come together. And she's like, you're Loki. It's like, of course I know who you are, Loki. And I love this part at the bar. We alluded to it earlier, but they should have a choice. You're ripping them from their lives. They didn't get a chance in this, and I can't give it to them without you. You know, like, there's just a beautiful dialogue. And it's like, you don't, and Loki tries to press it right back. I promise. I'll get to you in just a second. You don't care. I guess not. This is all worked out. You're fine just working out, walking away. You know, and she's like, I want a life. I want to live. What's wrong with wanting something, Loki? And he says, I want to stop he who remains. And she presses, what is it? Why are you really doing this? I want to save everything, all of it. I want the TVA back. It keeps pressing. What do you want back? I want my friends back. I don't want to be alone. A fucking powerful, powerful scene. And one of my absolute favorites of any Marvel property. And Tom Hiddleston continues to prove why he's been such an amazing casting choice since back in 2011, I believe, or 2010. think 2010 was the first Thor movie. So just
yeah, we liked his acting then as yeah. Loki,
and now
it's evolved beyond crazy amounts. Yeah,
I remember loving Thor because of Loki. Because like I did it for you, Father.
Nailed
for,
it
for you. Like as he lets go, so don't you fucking do it.
Well, okay, that's my metric. Okay, Iron Man 2 came out in 2010, so Thor: The Dark World also had to come out in
Thor. Just the first Thor, not the Dark World. The first Thor.
Oh no! Oh yeah, you're right. Because at the end
regular
of
world,
Thor the Rainbow World, because there was rainbow bridges. Yeah.
Yeah, at the end of Iron Man 2 was the credit scene for Thor. Yeah. 2010.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I know you You're did welcome. That all just to say Iron Man 2. You were raising your hand before your little Iron Man 2 light started buzzing off. What did you have before that?
Okay. Okay. So no one else knew Loki.
Yeah.
What do we think happened to all of the people who were in the room whenever the temporal loom blew up or whatever the hell it did? Okay.
Spaghettification.
Cool. Yeah. Well, but they all ended up where?
They're different timelines.
Where is Loki finding them?
They're branched timelines.
Yes.
Okay.
And they even say it when they go back to those things. It says like 2022 Cleveland, Ohio branched timeline. So
branch timeline.
It's not where we think. Okay. It's 100% confirmed. So
just so that. In my head, and I, you guys can agree or not agree with me. And you know what? You're wrong. That's fine.
I'm so ready to not agree with you after you said really, that. You cornered me.
No, it's like never that teen angst that Blink-182 14-year-old in me is like, fuck you, mom. Like, I'm ready for you. Like, yeah, say it.
So in my head, they all went back to the moment that they were pruned.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that beyond, like, did I already jump too far?
No, that's reasonable. What do you mean?
Okay. All right.
Maybe.
So,
I thought, okay, maybe Casey, because he was, like, leaving the prison. I don't know. He may have sparked something. But, like, I thought it was because they did something that was like, oh, shit. You're going off the beaten path. We need to get you back in line. Mm-hmm. And none of them were doing that. One dude was eating donuts, selling jet skis. Mm-hmm. Doesn't feel like that's too powerful of a, oh shit, you know. So,
but it was a branch timeline.
I know it's a branch timeline.
So something had to branch it.
Correct.
But was it their actions or something else that branched them? Are you wondering if it was like a Loki interference?
No. In my head, whenever I was watching this episode, they all were going back to the moment where they would have gotten pruned.
Yeah.
Holy fuck. I think Keith may have gotten it, though. Holy shit. Sorry. When he talked about Loki being...
Oh, fucking shit.
Do you think it's a snake eating its own self? It's Loki that caused it, and they're all pruned because of Loki's actions before?
Fuck off.
And it all goes around and around and around.
Fuck you.
Fuck!
Fuck that. Holy shit.
Should be. Just saying.
Did you figure it out on accident, Keith? Did you just have an accidental moment that I because.
Yep. Yes, I did. I had an epiphany.
An epiphany.
No,
I have.
I don't know.
Greg, can you epiphany me?
It seemed too coincidental, first of all, to any time someone brings up New York 2012, but also just. I mean, Loki's popping in and out of stuff. He's a mischievous god. He's doing all these things. Maybe. I mean, like, who knows?
But you made contact with that god. Time to pluck you right out.
Maybe. And then are the people who get indicted into the TVA the people that are just bystanders of commonly pruned branches or what? Like, I have no idea. I don't know.
It's seriously a mindfuck. But I'm going to rewind super, super far back. Do you guys watch the Previously On or do you skip that?
I watched it last night, but I didn't watch it today.
I watch it every single time because I do think, okay, there's context here that they're trying to point to. It's like a clue. Mm-hmm. And they showed the He Who Remains part in season one where he's like, I know everything that led you to this point. And it still feels like he's controlling everything. It feels like there's something bigger, like Victor. And then they showed straight to Victor Timely getting spaghettified. And it seems like there's still this guy who still has one hand on the controls while all this. Why do you show that? Why do you make us remember that? Unless there's obviously something that Kang, He Who Remains, Victor Timely, whoever, whatever variant shows up next, is still controlling everything we're seeing. And so that leads me to believe, you guys saw that, Loki. You're coming with me. I'm going to wipe your memory. This is it. Reset. And I feel like those moments may indicate where they... So kind of answering Emmy's question, that is how they get Prune, because of Loki going back to get them. And it's all just going in and of itself. It's, I know that's outrageous. I know that's weird, but it, that's how my...
That makes so much sense.
That's how my brain is thinking about it. And so, I don't know, but it's a mind fuck. And every time I go back to Keith, he always says that, like, it's a snake eating its own tail. It keeps making me think of this. It just feels like a loop. It feels like just this never-ending, you know what I mean? And so... Mm-hmm. I don't know, guys.
Because right now it feels like he's starting the TVA. Mm-hmm. He's starting it just like He Who Remains wants him to do.
Right.
But now it's Loki doing it and not someone else, or has it always been Loki?
Oh, God.
Fucking no, man. It's...
And hey, okay. Mobius. His name is Mobius. A Mobius strip. Just saying.
It's true.
Well, why haven't I put that shit together yet? Fucking hell. My God.
That is a strip that can be formed by attaching the ends.
Oh, yeah. No, you do the twisty on the paper and you do the...
Oh, that was a little weird. What's that?
You do the...
The fisting?
Yeah. You do the twisty on the paper and then you put it on the other paper.
Okay. All right.
I punched my mic during that.
You were fisting it.
Okay. So here was the ending thought to what I think that we just figured out all of season two of Loki. Okay.
And maybe season three.
Possibly. That was amazing, and I have to give props.
Who's gonna have
good
season?
Job, Brandon.
Thank you. Season three. Who needs it? You got the Avengers.
I want a season three, Greg. You think I want a season three?
I have season three. Will you milk me?
Season three is only for the Circle of Trust.
Oh, the Mobius strip. It's a circle. It's all fucking circle.
There you go.
Damn it.
Boom.
There it is. You're welcome, guys. You're welcome.
Okay. So I thought they all went back to the moment of their pruning. Mm-hmm. I think that we just discussed that. I don't know that that's completely true. Well, I think my biggest nitpick of this episode was the fact that Sylvie.
Oops. Isn't that the actress's name? Is it Sophie?
I think so.
Sophia Di Martina. Sophia.
Yep. I think you're right. Yep. Or close. Yep.
I did a little cross keys there.
Yep.
Shout out to those who recognized it. I was trying to keep y'all on your toes. But no, I thought that she should have gone back to the moment that she was pruned, which was when she was playing with those boats and stuff in episode 4 or 5 of season 1. Y'all remember that?
Where it showed like dark haired Lady Loki.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where she's playing with that Lego boat.
Yeah, I that would have made more sense to me. And so I don't think that I completely understand why everybody forgot who Loki was, except for her.
Yeah, that hasn't been really explained yet. I mean, that's a good point. Yeah,
I thought it was because she was wearing He Who
Remembers had a temp pad
this whole time. Yeah, I thought she remembered everything and she did not lose the memory of the reset. As it were, because of that, maybe.
Then okay, so then my second question or nitpick would be, why weren't there two Lokis whenever he time warped back to the very end, whenever he's on the deck with everybody? And he's like, well, I'm going to save everybody there? At the very, very end.
Yeah.
So he pops back in next to
OB. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is he popping in next to OB during when Mobius went out or when Victor Timely went out?
I think it's question. During.
But it should be when Victor
Timely. Yeah. That's.
But yeah, there should be two Lokis there. 100%.
But I feel like if I really tried really hard, I could explain that. And somehow that, like, because he's able to time slip, he time slipped himself into that Loki and time slipped the other Loki to somewhere else.
You're saying that he's not only is his control of the time slipping, not only can he just go back whenever he wants to, but him going back also pushes the other Loki out of that place that he is. And he's the one controlling that, maybe?
Kind of, yeah.
Or will both Lokis exist in that cockpit and have
we've
to
seen
argue
them both
over
at,
each other?
We've seen them both at the same place at the same time before. That makes more sense.
Hello.
At the
beginning of this episode.
Right. The latter makes more sense.
But he didn't have control of it then. True. So if he did have control of it, would it be possible for him to like bloop?
Yeah.
Okay.
To
bloop.
Flurky his himself.
Flurky.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, so
good God.
Thank you. Thank you. I think we should get a potty for that. What do you win?
Did you say a potty or a party?
A potty, like a podcast award. Are they not called that?
No, we just use the restroom potty.
No, I think they're called Webbies.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I was being serious, think I was supposed to be.
Yeah. We were setting up a joke, and you just totally were like, yeah, no, let's call this.
Yeah. No, you should vote for us for the Webbies.
Yeah. This year. give us a your webby, web-covered vote.
That's a good one.
Wash your hands.
I love all the white web all over our faces. So we see that there is, I don't want to be alone. That's what Loki said. And see, we're both selfish. And so, hey, your friends are back where they belong. Without them, where do I belong? We're writing our own stories now, Sivy says.
Oh.
And so Loki goes back to the TVA, the entire crew, and you all should go home. You all, you know, and it's a very quick way. Like, well, what? I thought there was, you know, they're in danger. And, you know, before that happens, though, Sylvie walks into a record store. One of my favorite scenes. Favorite fucking scenes of the, honestly, give me top 25 MCU. I'm not even going to lie. I would put it in there where, hey, you should listen to this. It's going to either make you, you know, really love, or it's going to make you want to like, I just love it. Cause that's what music should do. It should invoke an emotion, but the way he recommended it, I would listen to that in a heartbeat. Cause I'm like, I'm going to feel something.
Yeah.
Fuck. Yeah. Mm-hmm, it's like, you're either going to love this or want to kick down a wall or what. And so she listens to the Velvet Underground Loaded. And the song is Oh Sweet Nothing. And really, really cool. This album, I think, was released in 1970. And it was beautiful lyrics.
Back when Brandon was born.
I was born in 69.
Okay. So was my mom.
Yep. And we 69'd all night long last night.
No, God damn it.
Sorry, Pam. Anyway.
Did either of you recognize this song from anything else?
No,
it's in a soundtrack, an awesome soundtrack. The movie is good, but the soundtrack is almost better than the fucking movie. But it is from Zombieland.
Oh, I did not know.
I heard it over and over and over again, and I was trying to place it. I was like, why the fuck do I know the song almost better than where I know it from? It's because I listened to that soundtrack more than I watched the movie, but it's so good. Yeah, I love that song, Sweet Nothing. As soon as I heard it, I was like, this is a great choice. And that scene was awesome.
Oh, and she sits and she's looking up, and we see, obviously, that the spaghettified is happening. And this guy is realizing this timeline is, this is the visual that I'm actually kind of happy because it was a nitpick of ours earlier in the pod where, oh, we're just seeing this on a little computer graphic and it's not really making this is it. And holy shit. I think it was a perfect time to hit it and not earlier. It feels more impactful now. Marvel Studios held on before letting, and what an amazing, impactful. And when he says Sylvie and reaches out and completely goes away in the void that she's in, and then she just opens the door and just walks through. Fucking hell. This is just, to me, it's art. It's art. It's poetry. It's storytelling. It's just, it's music. It's everything I love.
Yeah.
Everything in one scene. It's fucking fantastic. Emmy, what were you thinking?
I completely agree with you that it's art, because you hear somebody come in, you hear the bell ring, they immediately spaghettify, and then you see the bell ding again, the door closes, and then dude is pouring himself a cup of coffee, the cup of coffee disappears, and then the coffee starts to spaghettify. It's so cool. And then you're outside of the store looking in, and the window spaghettifies.
Yeah.
Again, so cool. And then the fact that the music, the how you're hearing the music changes once the window is gone. And then him like trying to warn his friend. Yeah. It was amazing. That scene, that like what, like, I don't know, 12, 15, 30 second scene. Amazing. Beautiful. Yeah. Cinematic. I loved every second of it.
I just love the way Emmy described that. I just wanted to say it. It was really, really good.
I was going to say, it's almost sad that it's like the best scene Sylvie is in this season. I feel like if I've got any nitpick over this season, it's that Sylvie's character isn't really getting as much, other than a couple of conversations with Loki in one episode, and now this, like, think the last episode, and now this one.
Mm-hmm. She's always really fucking working her shift at McDonald's.
Yeah.
Well, she just seems very removed from it all, and now she's in the game. Okay, cool. And now she gets the one of the best scenes in the season, maybe the series as a total. But also the effect, like after seeing that gif of Victor Timely spaghettifying from last week, probably 300 times online, I thought it looked kind of not great CG wise. And then seeing the spaghettification of like the main room in the TVA in this episode, and the cracking of the computer screen and the big screen as it starts to, and then this record store, like that was, it was, it's almost, and like it looked better with inanimate objects.
Yeah. I can definitely agree with that.
It looked really cool.
And the way I didn't even mention the way that it, like the room is spinning with the record, and then the record starts to unravel.
And then like it is floating there, and it's my god!
And then it's just Sylvie, like, and Sylvie is the last thing. It's like the Death Cab for Cutie music video for "I Will Follow You Into the Dark," where it's just like she's on this remote island of like floor there's nothing left, like she can't step anywhere else, she's got to go through a temp door.
Yeah.
And what a beautiful song to play when the lyrics are saying, "Oh sweet nothing, I ain't got nothing at all," and it's like he's been telling her, "You need to help me or this world you've set up for yourself is going to die too." And it just comes in such a great visual way. Some would say at the perfect time, I feel like she should have believed him the first couple times, but now she fucking believes him because there's nothing left.
Yeah.
Sorry. Mm-hmm. This is what I meant.
You know, she was really excited about working at fucking McDonald's, man.
Great pay in 19.
Slaying apple pies.
She was excited to live her life. And what is wrong with wanting? And I love that line too. And I, well said, both of you, for that scene. I think you did it justice, both of you, and I appreciate it. I think you guys really nailed it. There, we see that she walks through the temp pad, and we go back to Mobius and what? They were in danger, and now they're okay. What about the TVA? You're fine without it? I love, there's still the moral compass of Mobius. Wait. Like, he's not like, we're out of danger, everything's fine. Like, no, you said there's a reason why we're here. What was that? Mm-hmm. And, we see that everything's falling apart. The branches are dying. And this is Sylvie. No, they aren't. She basically, I don't know what's happening, but there must be something we can do. We can go back. We can stop the loom from melting down. We're all here. The pins. We have all the pins, the mug, the coordinates. This is Loki. We need to read the collective aura of the Tempad. Where did it go? And Casey, And this is where I feel like, again, where did the Tim Pack go? There's something bigger at play. Something's happening. Because
we didn't get an answer there.
We never did.
It is just gone. It was sitting next to him, I think, on that.
Oh, bench, wait, really?
Really?
Yeah. Pretty sure, yeah.
Oh, see, I thought it was. I thought it got spaghettified. And nobody noticed.
Before everything else.
But it's kind of odd that of all things was the first thing, and no one noticed it. And then it all.
I mean, it's got a temporal aura. Yeah. Aura.
I don't know. I still think that's a bigger person at play here. I think that's more what it could be, but who knows? But they accuse Casey, obviously, with his background. But then we see Obi, and then they start getting spaghettified, and I have to go back to see my boys. Mobius immediately, you know, starts, and there's nowhere. Is this it? There's nowhere left to go. This is B-15, and what makes a Loki is we're destined to lose.
We're destined to lose. Oh, damn.
And there's
what a great line from season one.
Oh, I agree. And nowhere left to go is repeated. We see that Loki turns back time, similar to Cher, if she could.
Turn back time.
Yeah.
Nope.
She would find a way.
She could find a way.
Yeah, she would.
She would.
she'd take back all the words that hurt you, and you'd stay. But, hey, you know what? I'm mad. Derek, we gave you a shout-out earlier, but damn it, I'm giving you your Packers podcast. If you could turn back time, I gave you the best name in the world, and you didn't take it. Fuck off. I will never forgive you for that, Derek. Just know that. So anyway, he learned to control his time slipping. And it's not about when or why. It's about who. I can rewrite the story. And he goes back to Obi, and the credits fucking hit. What a fucking great episode. Damn it. God, I love this episode. Just recapping it made me love it. And my wife hasn't seen this yet. So I am going to go and I'm going to say, hey, honey, let's watch this episode. Because I walked out and I went, and she's like, is it okay? And I said, one of the best episodes I've ever watched. She goes, oh, that's great. Good. I was nervous when you walked out. But this was fucking wonderful. And it was fucking wonderful recapping. I know we're not done, but Jesus, reading my notes, I got stoked again. What a damn good episode. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
I agree. And I said what I said about people said it was filler-y.
Yeah, no.
It came across I'm not even sure what social media spaces I inhabit these days, but it passed through my peripheral that it was like, I don't completely understand what the point of this episode was. And to that person specifically. Sorry.
To that person.
I did do some sign language there. But no, to that person specifically, I think it was absolutely to build that this is not the Loki that we've known. This is a different Loki. This is a Loki who needs people, who wants people, and who wants to be a part of something better.
And who has different abilities now, too. Look at what he's harnessing at the end of this episode.
That's a fair point, yeah.
If he keeps those powers, holy shit, what a fucking amazing... That'd be pretty cool.
Well, it's funny, the things I hear, you hear... them saying a lot in the first season is like they're looking over at classic Loki when he's creating the illusion of Asgard to distract Eliath, and they say, how is he capable of doing something like that? And he basically says, I think we might be stronger than we think as Lokis in general. So there's Lokis are capable of so much more. They've been hinting at that idea that he could learn some new powers, and maybe this will be Loki going forward. Or maybe he'll die next episode. Who fucking, I don't know.
Oh, he better the fuck not. Shit. I would be very pissed.
Yeah. You wanna
spaghettified Victor Timely. We know that that's a bunch of Kangs being created, right?
Yes. That's how Kangs are always made. You just put them through.
Like each nude becomes a Kang?
Mm-hmm. Each nude. He posed for several nudes, and now each one is going to become a Kang. That's what you meant, right?
Guys.
Yeah.
Please, let's not talk about Nude King. Please. Not yet.
Can we not? I'm sorry. I would enjoy.
Okay, Emmy, once again, I'm going to double down. No Nude King conversation. Not yet.
Okay. Brandon doesn't want to talk about Nude Kang. All right, so hit me up in my DMs if you want to talk about Nude Kang.
Hey, Discord. We also will talk about Nude Kang there.
Yeah, we got a thirst channel.
Yeah. There you go.
Can't wait.
Post all the Nude Kang. Well, don't post nude stuff. No, don't do that. But
yeah, that's not what it's for.
No.
Don't get us wrong.
Yeah, thirst
but
channel.
But if you DM me.
Yeah, you can. But you can privately message one of the hosts of this podcast, Nude Kang Pictures, and
preferably Brandon.
I swear to God, if I get Nude Kang anything sent to me, I am blocking you, and I am blocking Emmy for the rest of my life. Just
there
saying.
You go.
Yeah.
There you go.
No, yeah, don't do that. Send it to me. I'll send it to him.
God, I hate you, Emmy. I hate you. Anyway.
We'll make a collage.
Yeah.
We'll some cut and paste, and we'll send it to you in the mail. P.O. Box.
New Kang.
5661.
Knoxville, Tennessee.
There you go.
P.O. Box 5661. Yeah, Knoxville, Tennessee. Yeah,
that's where we're at.
37928.
Yeah.
Let the Nude Kang collages.
This is a bad time to hand out our address, Emmy. That is a really bad time to, like, you know? But hey, you know what?
Neither way. Well, it's not a. I don't live there.
Well, no shit.
But if y'all people get were still... one, this is a success. This is a success.
All right.
Second, we get one.
Guys.
Did anybody find OB zapping Loki to harken back to Avengers 1 when Tony's fucking with Bruce? I like
that.
Okay.
I did.
Okay.
Yes. I loved it. And the fact that he was like, fight or flight doesn't elicit a response. Electric pulse or something like that does not elicit. I love that he's trying all the things. And I love like he's not scary at all. That's not going to fight or flight you. But he was like, oh, fuck that. Mark that off. It was really fucking funny. So both, but yes, I definitely got Avengers callback vibes for sure.
Okay, and I got it when he does the you should try harder, and Loki's like, ah, bah, bah, bah. I thought that was very much like the when Mark Ruffalo is trying to get
Infinity
the Hulk to come out.
You're going to Infinity War. Yeah,
and he's like, yeah, you're embarrassing me in front of the wizard.
Yeah. I did not think of that, though. I did not think of that, but I straight up thought about, like, the blueberries when he's eating the blueberries. And he's like, hey, you're tiptoeing, big man. You need to strut. God, I love that. I love that line. God.
That's a good line.
It's from the first Avengers.
Science Bros.
I watched the first Avengers recently. It's still, the first Avenger still holds up. It's so comic booky, yet it's still good. It's just good comic book.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well done.
Yeah. Anyway. Love it. Still slaps.
All right.
Fam.
I got a couple more things that I just need to run through real quick.
Yes.
All right. I love that the temp pad is a little wonky. Did you realize that when they are trying to prove to Dawn, aka Mobius, that they are from the future, it like ends up inside the trees?
It's
like way up high.
Fucking funny. It is so funny. Like he's in like the whole time Obi is still like staring at it and trying to work on it while like Obi is so into it. And you can tell the way it's like moving, it's so fucking great. Yes, I did notice that.
I really enjoyed that. I do think that part of the reason that Mobius decided to go with Loki was that it's a cool name. Mobius.
He space said name.
That's a pretty cool name.
That's a pretty cool
space name. Yeah, and he does. Yeah, he says it later. That's my space name.
Yeah. Love it.
Okay. My final thing. Whenever Loki figures out that he can control his time slipping, he's like, I did it. Motherfucker. Time is of the essence. Come on, let's go. You did what? Like, tell somebody explicitly what you did and how you're going to do it again. Because, like, your people are about to go now. Spaghettify is happening now. Like, go.
Hurry the fuck up. Do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, to me, it's like I was watching a character learn a new superpower in real time. No pun intended. But he was like, oh, I can go back 20 seconds. And then he went back 10 minutes. And then he went back a whole fucking episode. So good for him.
Yeah.
I want to see.
A whole episode.
Impressive.
Good. But also, like.
Back a whole episode.
You gotta go, man. You gotta go.
I was more annoyed at him like slowly walking toward the elevator with the phone ringing and the other one slowly walking up and pruning him. That to me was more a wasted time kind of moment. This is more a guy realizing he's got all the time in the world, so he can take as long as
bingo.
He wants.
Yes. Okay.
All right. That's I guess that's a fair point.
That is a great point there, Keith. That's awesome. Good shit.
It shows confidence in his new power, because otherwise he'd be like, I just figured it out. I'm not a new time living. Oh, I still got 5 more minutes.
Right.
Okay.
Right. I think it's awesome. I think it's wonderful.
I would be that version, though. I would be like, I just figured out how to do this. And I know that this bad thing is going to happen in a little.
This bad thing's going to. That's spaghetti talking.
That is. If you've ever listened to pasta talk, that's it.
Yep. Wonderful. Excuse me.
Okay.
Bless me.
Bless you.
Pardon.
Pardon.
Parmesan.
All right, guys. That is Loki episode 5, science fiction, guys. This has been such a fun ride. I have thoroughly enjoyed these 5 episodes with you guys. It has been so, so memorable, and I've loved every second of it. Guys, if you like the coverage of the Avengers podcast, and you, hey, those guys are pretty cool, a little off the rails, but I like them. Consider giving a 5-star rating on your podcast platform of choice. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast that has a rating system. 5 stars really does go a long way with us getting eyes and ears on this podcast of ours. If you want to give a dollar to us, hey, holla for a dollar. You know, we're simple folks. Patreon.com/Avengers Podcast. We have $1 tiers. Keeps our lights on. A lot of people give us a dollar. We even have someone that gives us $6.90. Shout out to you, John. 69. That's where we're at. So, if we are good to go there. So, if you want to, patreon.com/Avengers Podcast. So, if you want to tune in next week, we will be back. We're going to have a loaded week next week, guys. We are going to be reviewing the Marvels.
Oh my God, is that next week?
That's next week. So the newest from Marvel Studios, The Marvels, is coming out. I've got tickets for Thursday. We're reviewing it Saturday, right? We're going to be reviewing it Saturday night. So pod will be dropping Saturday night, Sunday morning. Keep an eye out for that. We will also, Emmy, you're still on camera, by the way.
Yeah, that's why I showed you a picture of a penis.
All right, stop. Let's be adults for a second. But we also, we're going to be doing Loki episode 6. We're going to be recording that as well. And we're going to have...
On Friday, right?
On Friday, we're going to have a special... It's not even a special guest. He's a member of the podcast. Clinton will be back with us reviewing the newest episode of Loki. So we'll have the full Avengers crew, Keith, Emmy, Clinton, and myself. We all will be here and really excited about reviewing the finale of...
I drew a picture. That's Clinton.
We need to go now because Emmy is just interrupting nonstop. So, all right. So we are going to go, but thank you so much for tuning in. We really, really appreciate it. We're heading on out of here. Emmy, credits names.
All right, so I saved this. So you were talking about the Clint Eastwood movie.
Yes.
About the escape from Alcatraz. So there were 3 people that I believe made it. Okay?
Okay.
It was John and Clarence Anglin and Casey, a.k.a. Frank Morris. They all made it.
Okay.
In this movie, someone played... the character of Alan West. Alan West stayed in Alcatraz.
Oh.
However, in the movie, they changed his name. And I don't know why. Because it was mean. They changed his name to Charlie Butts instead of Alan West.
Shouldn't have done it. Shouldn't have done it.
Shouldn't have.
All right.
Shouldn't have, but did.
Rewriting history.
It's not okay. Mm-hmm. It's never okay. Goodness. All right, guys. We're going to head on out of here. We may even drop a news episode. Holy shit. There's a lot of news I want to talk about. Holy shit. If we drop 3 podcasts next week, maybe we won't do that. I don't know. But hell, I want to talk about Marvel Studios news. You may see a podcast drop with the 3 of us randomly. Just keep an eye out. And we are dropping Loki episode 6, and we are going to be doing the Marvels this weekend as well, this coming weekend. Anyway, we're adults and we're heading on out of here. Thank you for tuning in. We love you all. We appreciate you tuning in so much every single week. Cannot wait to talk about this finale. Keith. Mm-hmm. My bad.
Who that is?
Keith Emmy. Any final words before we call it a podcast?
I took notes like Emmy.
No, you took notes like a psychopath.
Did that just happen?
Magic. He was. Yes, it was magic. I was. I don't want a lot for Christmas.
No, we're not getting copyright sticking.
There is just one thing I need. I don't care.